This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. It's been called High Noon at the High Court, the constitutional showdown over the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law. Today, the Supreme Court met in special session for an extraordinary 4 hours of argument instead of the usual one. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
To its proponents, McCain-Feingold is nothing more than an effort to get rid of the corrupting influence of big money in politics. To its opponents, the law is a blunt attempt to limit speech by corporations, unions, and advocacy groups. This morning, debate focused on the first section of the law. It bars national parties and officeholders from raising so-called soft money, that is, large chunks of campaign cash in the hundreds of thousands of dollars from corporations, unions, and wealthy individuals. Challenging the law is an assortment of strange bedfellows, from the Republican National Committee to the AFL-CIO, the National Rifle Association, and the ACLU. Representing the challengers first today was one-time independent counsel Kenneth Starr. He told the justices that McCain-Feingold significantly limits speech, shifts power away from the parties, and violates the sovereignty of state law. At least four justices wondered aloud, though, how this law is any more restrictive of political parties or states' rights than the law McCain-Feingold replaced. After all, the previous legal regime, in place for a quarter of a century, had an actual percentage allocation of how much soft money raised by national parties could be spent by state parties for elections when federal candidates were on the ballot, too. This exchange with Justice Breyer was typical.
If you thought the prior system of allocation, if you felt that was constitutional, then why is this new allocation unconstitutional?
There comes a point, Your Honor, where Congress goes too far in failing to accommodate the state interest.
Justice Souter pursued the point. If national parties can raise money through their closely affiliated state parties, that would just create a giant loophole. Justice Breyer, it wouldn't be an inch wide, it would be 50 miles wide. Following lawyer Starr was the Republican National Committee's Bobby Birchfield. He asserted that under McCain-Feingold, the chairman of a national party couldn't raise money for state and local candidates. Justice Breyer pounced. They can raise money. They just can't raise it in amounts more than allowed by federal law. Any other rule, said Breyer, would be administratively too difficult. That prompted this caustic comment from Chief Justice Rehnquist.
When you're talking about the First Amendment, administrative considerations ordinarily are not good enough.
When Solicitor General Ted Olson, representing the Bush administration, got up to defend the law, he ran into a buzzsaw from Justice Scalia. Scalia, General Olson, is every problem soluble? After all, if the executive branch made a compelling argument that they couldn't fight crime and abide by the Fourth Amendment, we wouldn't do that. Some things the government just can't do. When Olson cited previous Supreme Court rulings upholding limits on campaign contributions, Chief Justice Rehnquist interrupted. I don't think those precedents support the notion that Congress can willy-nilly regulate any contribution. Olson continued, but again faced a skeptical Scalia.
This court has previously said over and over again, this is an area where there's special expertise in Congress. This legislation...
Special expertise and also special interest. It's well known that the challenger needs more money. Perhaps we shouldn't be so deferential.
This legislation was developed as a result of 6 years of intense investigation.
All done by incumbents, incidentally.
Well, right? we pass laws in the United States, Justice Scalia, by people that already hold office. But they
couldn't. That's true, but they usually don't pertain to what it takes to get them out of office.
Well, they...
Representing Senators McCain and Feingold, lawyer Seth Waxman told the court that the law has not hurt the parties. He noted that this year the two parties have raised more money in limited contributions under McCain-Feingold than they did in both regulated and unregulated soft money in the same period of the 2000 presidential election. Said Waxman, you cannot strike down this law based on chicken little predictions of something that has not happened. Several justices asked what there is to prevent big money from just transferring its contributions to special interest groups like the Chamber of Commerce or environmental groups or the NRA. Waxman responded by pointing to a brief filed by businessmen who say they are often strong-armed by the parties into contributing. Groups like the NRA, said Waxman, don't have that kind of leverage. Moreover, he said, parties, not special interest groups, put candidates' names on the ballot and can guarantee access. Several members of the court, however, vocally resisted the core justification of McCain-Feingold that money in politics is corrupting. Here's Justice Scalia, for instance.
Access is not votes. The members of Congress are going to give time to people who've given money to their campaign.
There is a mountain of evidence from experts, members, lobbyists, that access buys influence.
Waxman contended that when national party leaders are fundraising, it doesn't matter where the money goes to state or national parties. The state parties, he said, have become offshore banks for the national parties. And he pointed to what he called all the great hits of the Thompson Committee investigation of President Clinton's fundraising. All the worst case examples, he noted, involved big donations made at the behest of national party leaders to state parties.
The people who gave these huge contributions, the corporations and unions, did not care where it went. They cared what it bought them.
At the end of his argument, Waxman returned to the question Justice Scalia had raised early in the day. Can all problems be solved? Waxman conceded that when it comes to campaign money, the law will continually have to be updated.
We have a dialectic going on here between people who want to use money to influence people in government and the institutions that need to preserve a sense of integrity and faith in the process. And what my colleagues on the other side are urging is that this law be struck down on its face. And that is a counsel of despair. And that is an approach that this court and this Congress and this people cannot countenance.
In rebuttal, Ken Starr returned to his argument that parties are being undermined by McCain-Feingold.
Parties exist for the purpose of bringing people together to articulate a worldview, a vision of what, in fact, is good for society. And political parties are now finding themselves at significant disadvantages because of the here and now effect of this law.
The afternoon session was devoted to the second major provision of McCain-Feingold, which bars corporations, unions, and advocacy groups from using their members' and shareholders' money to fund broadcast ads that identify a candidate in the last 60 days of a general election campaign. Such ads can run, but they must be funded by money raised specifically for that purpose. There seemed to be general agreement on the court today that the rules that the court adopted in 1976 governing so-called issue ads do not work anymore. But the justices were divided on what to do about that. Some wanted to allow all ads, regardless of who sponsors them. Others said that would gut the contribution restriction, since big money would just funnel its resources into TV and radio ads. By day's end, it seemed clear that the court was pretty evenly divided, with four justices generally supporting the law and four viewing it as unconstitutional. As is so often the case, it appeared that the deciding vote would likely be cast by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Today, she was uncharacteristically quiet during the 4 hours of debate. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.